Well, there'll definitely probably be some sex talk. I don't know if there's going to be any poo talk here on the Sex and Poo podcast.
Well, I'm working on something.
Yeah. You never know what may happen where we're recording from.
Let's take you to Namibia.
Oh, that's where we're recording from here on the Mike and Molson Too Good for Radio podcast?
I'm going to take you down into the southern part of Africa.
Okay.
Country called Namibia.
All right. What's going on in Namibia?
Where a group of tourists have been banned.
What were they doing? Were they taking pictures with wildlife, idiots?
I wish it was that simple, but no. They stripped naked at one of the world's beauty heritage spots. The nude trio was pictured sunbathing on one of Namibia's top attractions, the Big Daddy Sand Dune.
You can't be nude on Big Daddy.
There had to be a better name for that.
Well, right? It could have been the Big Hurt, by the way. She'll like it, too.
I know we have the Grand Canyon, which is sort of on the nose.
Right.
You know, it's a little too obvious. But
the Big Daddy Sand Dune.
And somebody walked by. That's a Big Daddy of a sand dune over there. Look at that.
That should be the name of it, and she'll like it, too.
They now face being fined $40 and blacklisted from entering any of the country's parks.
Oh, good Lord.
Comes after.
The fine isn't that much as far as monetary, but then you can't do anything in the parks?
Appalled visitors called for action after running into the nude travelers roaming around the Big Daddy Dune.
You can't have your Big Daddy Dune out with Big Daddy Dune.
Vice Chairman of the Federation of Namibian Tourism Associations, you know, the FNUTA.
FNUTA. Weren't they a band back? They opened for Menudo back in the day. FNUTA and Menudo.
He warned against drawing tourists who, quote, think anything goes in Namibia. You know how often you've heard that expression.
Yeah, it's like Vegas.
Yeah.
What happens in Namibia stays in Namibia.
It's very sickening, and it really creates a bad image for Namibia.
Yes.
He added that the Big Daddy Dune is a place for families.
It sounds like a bad rapper, Big Daddy Dune.
Romeo Maunda, a spokesperson for the Ministry of Environment, Forestry, and Tourism, you know, the Mefertuts.
Romeo and the Mefertuts.
Condemned the group's extremely shocking behavior. He said that visitors are generally law-abiding people, but there have been a few exceptions. According to that, the ministry is now pleading with people who witness legal infractions or park rules regulations to report them to the ministry or the police so that appropriate action can be done. We condemn this action strongly.
Good
Man,
Lord.
They do not like naked
nude.
People in Namibia. No,
no
nude in Namibia.
No.
You know, Nanumanuma.
Nanumanuma.
You know, the Nanumanuma law?
Nanumanuma.
You know that law.
Big Baddy Dune.
We can look into the possibility of blacklisting them from entering any of our parks.
No one wants unwanted nude, by the way. I think they have a point with that, especially on the Big Daddy Dune.
We condemn this action. Not only does it go against our morals, but it violates the country's laws. It's a punishable act. When this had been brought to our attention, we were shocked that people, at the extent to which people would go. And the unnamed men reportedly left Namibia by the time the authorities received reports of the naked stunt.
Oh, no one wants your naked stunt. By the way, the show brought to you by Big Daddy Dune Tours.
Yeah.
And she'll like it.
And so it goes on. But it's one of these UNESCO heritage sites around the world. So it's a, you know, it'd be like walking around.
With your wang out of Stonehenge?
Yeah, something like that.
Rubbing old Abe's nose with your nuts or something?
Exactly. There have been other incidents, including naked tourists causing controversy around the globe. Earlier this month, a drunk backpacker was arrested and forced to make a groveling apology for stripping in front of tourists in Thailand.
Well, you've really gone overboard. Thailand, usually a lot of things they let slide, but they don't want you just dropping trowel.
And it goes on with some other. They're, people are just getting naked all over.
Well, including at orgies.
Do tell.
Yeah, there is a reporter over in England who is inspired by apparently Rebel Wilson. In her autobiography, said she got invited to an orgy once. She didn't realize it was an orgy, and then she went running away from it. But this particular individual actually shares firsthand account of not one, but two different orgies she showed up to. And that just seems beyond the pale to me. Like, I don't even know how you pass the invitation. It just seems overwhelming in general. But here's her firsthand accounts. She said, I went to my first one while at university way back in 2005 because my friend needed a wing woman. Why? That's a real friend, is it not?
I guess so.
I remember
an
being
orgy?
Yeah. Why would you need a wing woman? Like, I don't know if I can handle all this. There's going to be a lot of dudes.
Thought everybody was in.
I remember being mildly appalled that it was called Greedy Girls Night. I was hoping for the Playboy Mansion, but instead we pulled up to a bungalow in suburbia. We were told to look out for the house where the blinds were shut. Couldn't that be any house, depending on when you're showing up? Can you imagine?
Yeah, really.
Can you imagine going to the wrong house? I'm here for the orgy.
Right.
And just dropping it and people going, that's down the house. A middle-aged woman answered the door wearing Ann Summers. Inside, people less attractive than you'd see at a parents' evening were grabbing fleshy bits of each other on mattresses on the floor while old blokes stood around the edge of the room watching. Oh, God. There was a disco, a cinema, and a swimming pool. In the master bedroom, I witnessed women being shagged four ways. But most disgusting thing I saw that night was the buffet. Who thought finger food was a good idea?
Oh, and bring a dish to pass.
I felt nauseous at the thought of where the hands on the sausage rolls had been before touching. Don't touch Uncle Wiggly's Wieners, another sponsor of the show. I decided to go swimming. Got stuck in the pool when some people started having a threesome on the steps, and I had no way to get out. You're just minding your own business, going for a swim. The next thing you know, people are just going at it. I ended up treading water for an hour before I could escape.
Wow.
Yikes.
And you know, we've all seen it in a movie, or you've read about it in a Penthouse forum letter or something, and it sounds sexy and everything. Can you, even if it was, let's forget that that's unattractive people. Could you, in your wildest dreams, imagine performing?
No.
A room full of other moans and slapping,
not
and
even in the
slurping and
not,
whatever else.
Not
is going
even
on.
In the slightest. I couldn't even imagine one. Why, to her point, why there was a buffet?
Right.
Two.
Yeah, you gotta take a break to eat.
I guess so. Two. Being in the swimming pool and then all of a sudden a threesome starts happening in front of you. You're like, I don't know what to do here. Right. Disgusting. So then that being your experience with the orgy phenomena. I don't know if I'd ever say yes again, but yet she does. She continues.
Must have just gotten a bad one.
That's what she thought. The second one she said was more glamorous. She says, there was a night in West London that I only went to for work to report on the rise of women-only sex nights. Let me tell you, there is no one who looks more perverted in an orgy than the person standing in the corner with a notebook. The clientele were vetted by a committee who asked to see photographs, so everyone was hot. All right. At least there's a vetting process in this particular one. It was full of sexy, successful women, fashion photographers in red lipstick, and women in fedoras drinking champagne on a roof terrace. A total prude, I stood shocked as women stripped down to stockings and Coco Demir knickers, messing around with silk bondage gear and sex swings. Still, all I could think about was the IKEA art on the walls and the awkward laughter, although maybe that was coming from me. She goes, I think English people are particularly bad at orgies because we're not stylish enough, and the cliche is true, we're too prudish and physically uptight. One friend who went to an orgy tells me she couldn't get over her neurosis about hygiene. She goes on, the night she went to one was held at a London hotel where guests were directed to a room decorated with dim lighting, silky things over lamps, tea lights, and candles. Once inside, things started with intimacy exercises that involved touching each other, but as people poked their fingers into her mouth, she couldn't stop worrying about where they'd been.
Ew.
She said, this was her friend, she said she became intertwined with one man who was constantly distracted by the physicality of the whole scene. I watched him have a threesome, then he tied me up. In my head, I was enjoying it, but I couldn't stop thinking as he was kissing me that he had just had his face in another woman's crotch. So yes, not something you should ever say yes to.
I tell you, it is always suburbia, right?
Yeah,
it's not like Hell's Kitchen in New York or something. Or
no, it's
some seedy part of Austin, Texas or something.
Depending on where you're listening from, you're right. It's happening in your neighborhood.
And that always blows my mind is that there's probably somebody within, I don't know, a 20-foot radius of you where you work in your office who was into some like weird swinging freaky stuff. And you don't know, they're just walking around with a business suit on like anybody else.
Yeah.
But at night, yeah, the shades go down, the pineapple turns upside down, and they're off to the races.
Welcome in. By the way, bring a dish to pass.
Crazy. We eyes need some, wide shut, people.
Exactly. Need some bean dip to go with your orgy? That's probably not the right thing to bring to an orgy, I would imagine.
Well, you've seen places like this. I know there's one couple of here in Springfield, and they're in cities all over the place. There's one of these stores that sells crystals herbs and, you know,
if you need holistic healing and everything else,
you
whatnot.
Burn sage or whatever it is you do.
Clear out the demons.
Yeah.
The orgy stink afterwards.
Yeah, no kidding. So they're not uncommon, but if you try to open one in a little town called Winchester, Kentucky, they might look at you sideways.
We don't look too kindly at crystals.
The Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage.
Well, that's the first thing. You're naming it all of a sudden sounds like you got some weird stuff going on there.
They've been open for a year and are suddenly getting all this backlash that it's not just crystals and herbs and exotic teas, but they're actually practicing witchcraft in this store.
Oh, my God. They're doing witchery? How dare they do the witchery in Kentucky? What are the proof that the townspeople are saying?
And tell me if the owner, Shannon Tipton, is helping here. She says, I have a multitude of stones, crystals, jewelry, incense, herbs, spices, teas. All of the stones are meant for some type of energy, protection, and healing. The past couple weeks have been rough. It started when she got a heads up from a customer about a message from local leaders. They're trying to say I was a religion. I'm not a religion. I'm a business. I'm a metaphysical shop.
Yes, you are. I exist on a totally different plane than the rest of you plebeians.
So, yeah, there's part of me that wants to defend her and say, whatever, she's just doing her thing. And I was like, all right, you're weird.
Yeah, I mean.
You kind of asked for it.
But, yeah, I don't know if I would say weird equals witch, though.
It's been said that I'm a devil-worshipping witch. I'm a satanic shop. None of this is true. The community has called a special meeting.
Good Lord, what are you doing? Did we not learn anything from history? Burn her at the stake for her crystals.
Clark County District 4 Magistrate Mark Miller says, I am the magistrate of Clark County. I am here to represent some of my constituents and other Clark Countyans as their First Amendment right have been, their opinion have been heard. I'm not here to win, but to educate and clarify and resolve some issue. In no way is anyone trying to say that the Crystal Coven needs to close its doors. The business has a right to be open. The people who object to this believe that the tourism department should not promote any business that sells witchcraft materials.
Ooh, yeah. No one wants to be that weird crystal person.
Others believe tourism should not promote any type of spiritual events. Metaphysical shops are not spiritually neutral. Because this is a matter is...
Wait a minute. They're not spiritually neutral? They're metaphysical.
Yeah. And so they're trying to argue under the case that, well, what they're not saying that it's witchcraft and it's evil. They're just saying, hey, it's spiritual and we got to separate church and state.
But I'm sure the first thing they would put on the pamphlet for that Kentucky town is if the Baptist church was having a pancake breakfast,
right.
that'd be on there right away.
Right. With crucifix shaped pancakes.
Yeah, exactly. And with strawberry puree for like the blood as the syrup.
We're not asking her to change. We're just simply stating that we felt like for tourist attractions and things, we didn't feel it was necessary the way we wanted our community to be perceived. The owner says, I have folks afraid to come in. They're afraid they're going to be targeted. I have customers messaged, told that they're going to hell.
Can you imagine getting beat up because you have a crystal? I guess yes, because normally you would probably have some like really patchouli smell to you and everything else. But, you know, that's besides the point. Just accept it.
So Pastor Cruz is saying it's not so much a moral issue. I believe that the good Lord, if he wants us to bless the community and bless what we're doing, and then as a result of that, we would have to do the things that would bring blessings to us all. And he goes on to say that, it's not that I think that it's evil. It's just that it's different.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's different, and I don't like it.
I mean, there's one thing to have water that turns, or, you know, this wine that turns into the blood of somebody, and you drink that up or you eat part of his body. That's fine, but a crystal that can fend off bad spirits, no thank you to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. The things that people will do. Speaking of metaphysical and things that people will do, apparently there is a new phenomenon going on once again over in London. I guess with all these orgies over there, they got to make sure that the down there parts are looking fit and fiddle. Because apparently women are paying $500 to have salmon sperm injected into their vajay to improve their sex lives.
Do tell.
Yeah, an anesthetic nurse who runs clinics in London, Liverpool, and North Wales says they do, quote, the O-shot. And women are reporting stronger and more frequent orgasms, increased natural lubrication, and greater sexual arousal.
No kidding.
Yeah. An O-shot is a... sounds like something you would do at, like, a bar with a bunch of bros. Like, yeah, order up a round of O-shots, man. We're going to do the O-shots.
Sounds like they're going to put Nugenix out of business.
Yeah, exactly. She'll like it, too. An O-shot is a non-surgical treatment intended to rejuvenate the vagine and increase sexual arousal. Is allegedly to typically show results about after 2 to 4 sessions. They say several kinds of injections are used for the procedure, including the patient's own blood.
Ew.
Or salmon sperm.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are those the two choices? Yeah. Do you come in and they go, oh, you're here for the O-shot? Well, I tell you what. You got two choices on what can be injected right back into your vagine. Mm-hmm. We're either going to draw some blood, put it in a vial, put it right back into your old down there, or... And just hear me out here. I got some salmon sperm over here that we can right in. I mean, it's going to go in there anyway, right? So might as well just middleman, just yeah. Right in there, right in
you
the
can
old.
Get that in the vitamin aisle at CVS. I saw.
Oh, salmon sperm.
Yeah,
it's right next to the fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Do you swallow or spit it out?
Don't know.
I don't know how you take it. The doctor claims it's absolutely life changing for them. As people age, the skin often loses elasticity, which can lead to dryness and painful doing it.
Ouch.
The DNA extracted from the salmon sperm, quote, has potent regenerative qualities. So apparently salmon sperm makes you like Wolverine down there, working not on the superficial level, but sinking deeply into skin to work from within. And this sounds gross. Encouraging cell turnover that in turn helps firm skin and maintain its elasticity.
Whatever happened to just KY jelly, you know? You would just have a little tube of that.
Just on the
fine.
Side? Instead, you got to inject the salmon sperm deep within you. To
that was always... That was like as racy as the family planning aisle would get. You know, there'd be like condoms and KY jelly.
Oh, now it's got...
Now there's everything down there.
There's the old vibrating rings and everything else. And like for her. And exactly. And whatnot. And non this. And heat up that. And cold down this. And
branding irons.
Yeah, exactly. What is going on there? It's all I wanted to do was get a condom. They say the purified and sterilized salmon DNA molecules, officially called polynucleotides, also have anti-inflammatory effects that essentially rejuvenate the skin anywhere on the body. So there you go. If you got some problems, just take the old salmon sperm syringe and right in there. And
God almighty.
You're good to go with the old salmon spooge.
Wow. I mean, I'm kinky, but let's not go ridiculous here.
Oh, does that feel better for you?
Oh,
well,
geez.
You'll never believe the salmon sperm injection and what it did for me. What do we got next here in the Too Good for Radio podcast?
We go to a letter that was sent in to Reddit looking for opinions.
Okay.
And this is a pretty incredible scenario. And it does seem like, and I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
That men and women are better at being friends as the generations are coming up.
Yeah.
You know, that you see more platonic male-female friendships, and it's not a big deal, and nobody gets hung up about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was harder when we were growing up.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Everybody had something, well, there was some sort of an agenda. I'm still not fully convinced.
Right. There's a learning curve for dudes.
Yeah.
Because we think that a girl acts nice. Certain guys think that a girl acts nice to us. Like, oh, they like. No, they're just being there. And I think we're picking up on signs better of it's just being nice.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I still lean toward the When Harry Met Sally scenario that it's just like, it's kind of tough.
It's very. It's. There's a minefield.
Not impossible. And I think we're getting better with that. So,
yes.
She writes in and says her boyfriend has a best friend who's a female.
Okay.
She recently asked him to be in her wedding as the man of honor.
That's a thing. Yeah.
She doesn't want a maid of honor. She wants a dude of honor.
I had a friend back in the day saying that if she ever got remarried, she would want me as that.
And she even acknowledges, hey, I've got a best friend who's a man, so we're all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's fine. It's fine. So she goes on to say... that because he is the man of honor, he has been invited to go on a bachelorette weekend trip. Weekend getaway with a house full of females and drinking. This makes me uncomfortable. Not to mention, I've never had any romantic feelings toward my male friend. He, however, has admitted to having females for his friend in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So that there might have been a little electricity at one point, but they passed it, and now he's with her. So he said that.
There's one thing of being
and
friends.
And so she is, needless to say, uncomfortable with this scenario.
I don't... As much as I'm a to each his own individual, and have been for a very long time,
yes.
Both on the radio and too good for it, that just seems a step beyond. There's one thing of being the man of honor and being in the wedding, but what do the rest of the bridal party think of this guy being invited to the bachelorette weekend and just hanging out in the house with the... Because there's something, right? There's just something, even as comfortable as you may be as a generation... The bachelorette weekend, people get sloppy, right?
Not all
of them are, but they tend to lean that way. Right. There's the penis necklaces and everything else. And even the most refined bachelorette party, there's just always going to be someone that just holds back a little bit because a dude's in the room.
Right. Well, yes, and we've all encountered those bachelorette parties out at bars where, you know, the bride-to-be, she's got a little tear on in the sash, and she's, you know, she's having fun. But the ladies around her are... animals. I mean, they are losing their minds.
They're revved up, ready to go.
Holy God.
Look at that guy.
They want to be her.
Right. Oh, God.
They want to land one, too.
You want to suck for a buck? You got to do... You gotta pay me for... I'll Venmo me the money. What, you want that lifesaver? I got a lifesaver. You got to find it on
so
me
man,
first.
You would want this boyfriend to say, you know what, ladies?
I appreciate
go
it.
Go knock yourself out. I'm going to hang back.
Now, I will say, unless the ladies in the bachelorette party and are discussing with him that they need a chaperone.
Right.
If he is to be the herder of this sheep and they want a man to be there.
A designated driver.
Right,
maybe.
Exactly. Something along those lines. Or if dudes start to intrude as idiot guys, because let's face facts, to your point, there are bros out there who see bachelorette party and only think one thing. So if they want him there is to kind of keep everyone else at bay.
Yeah.
I understand that if he's running security, but maybe he stays someplace else.
And the girlfriend has said to him, hey, little weird, I'm not comfortable with this. He's responding and saying she's overreacting. She says, hey, if I went on a bachelor trip with a bunch of guys for a weekend, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be cool with it. But she says, am I overreacting?
I don't think she's overreacting. I think he needs to talk with the friend and say, hey, listen, that is super cool that you're wanting me to be here for the bachelorette thing. But that's, you know what? I'll be there for the dress fitting. I'll come out if we're doing like, you know, some type of brunch the next morning, but I'm not going to be there for the entire weekend. I'll go for the dinner. I'll go for the brunch, but I am not going for the full bachelorette experience.
Here is an interesting left hook in this story.
Uh-oh. And there's more.
Yeah. Somebody asked the question, do you know this friend? She says, we met once, but it was an event with a lot of people, and I'm not sure our interaction couldn't have been avoided on this occasion. But no, he hangs out with her alone every time, and he has never invited me.
Yeah, then that's big red flags. If he's not willing to introduce and like hang out all together ever, that's a big red flag.
Another person asked the question, well, what about the fiance of the best friend? What's his story?
Yeah, what's he feel about a dude being at the bachelorette weekend?
Girlfriend says, I'm wondering the same. This isn't very nice. Her fiance sounds like a dud.
Oh, he's probably just happy to be in the relationship.
Something,
it sounds like
something.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So there is the hey, everybody, you know, we're all friends and it's fine and it's platonic and everything.
Right. Yeah.
And then there is just that natural thing. It's like maybe men and women need to stay in their separate corners when they're not, you know.
Yeah. When they're in another, especially when they're in another relationship.
Because yeah.
There's no problem with guys being at the bachelorette party if the, everyone's comfortable with it, right? Or they throw the combined bachelor, bachelorette party, be a different story. But this just being a woman's weekend kind of away type situation, as a straight dude, I don't think, sorry, that's just not for you, man.
I agree.
Just not for you.
I agree.
Speaking of younger generations and whatnot, Generation Alpha has their own slang, and we have some of them here. So I will give you the word, and Johnny, if you would like, play along at home as well, listen to the podcast. Try to come up with the actual definition of the slang term for Generation Alpha. All right? This one, I don't even know how to say. G-Y-A-T. Jot. Or G-Y-A-T. G-Y-A-T. Okay. G-Y-A-T.
Is it an abbreviation for something?
It's a woman with a large behind. Oh. Short for girl, your ass thick. I can't say I don't like it. Rizzler.
Rizzler?
Yeah. I know people got the Riz, but what's a Rizzler?
Is Rizzler related to Riz? Is it somebody who's like going around and shooting his Riz?
Yeah. All over the place? Right into other people's vajay to rejuvenate them?
Oh, Doug Flutie. When did you get
here? Yeah, exactly. Hello. Hello, Doug. Someone who is exceptionally charming and charismatic is a Rizzler.
I got you.
So it's a takeoff of Rizzler.
I got you.
Skibbity.
Skibbity?
Skibbity. S-K-I-B-I-D-I. Skibbity.
Huh. No clue. I can't even guess. Is it a dance?
Name of the fictional part human, part toilet protagonist of the popular Skibbity Toilet YouTube series.
Oh, that's what it is. I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what that is. Phantom Tax? F-A-N-U-M Tax.
Phantom Tax.
Yeah.
Phantom Tax. So... money you're spending to be a fan of something.
It's food stolen between friends in reference to a popular Twitch live streamer, Phantom, who steals food from fellow streamers. You got to pay the Phantom tax.
I'm with you.
Sigma. What's a Sigma?
A Sigma.
For Generation Alpha.
Probably, it sounds like somebody who's got a real adult job.
Yes, it's an independent, successful man.
Okay.
So you'd be a Sigma.
A Sigma.
Not so much me. Ohio.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Somebody who is full of corn and flat-chested. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's a reference to nonsensical memes about the Midwestern state.
Oh, okay.
So here is all those used in two sentences. All right? They give this example. Stick in your G-Y-A-T for the Rizzler. You're so skibbity. You so Phantom Tax. I just want to be your Sigma. Freaking come here. Give me your Ohio.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Those are words that Gen Alpha will say.
You know, and if I heard somebody talking like that, I would just smile. That's funny to me.
Yes, exactly. I like it.
It's like somebody speaking pig Latin. It's just bizarre.
I'm going to use G-Y-A-T and skibbity.
Yeah, try that one on your wife and see what happens.
Yeah, be like, girl, you got a G-Y-A-T over there.
I'm sure she'd love that.
I'm sure she'd be like, pardon me? There's a couple more, and we all know these already. Bet is an expression of agreement. Mm-hmm. Sus, suspicious. Bussin', really good. Cap is a lie. What do you think the lore means?
Lore?
Yeah.
Somebody's history, somebody's... Yep.
Background knowledge about a fantasy universe, usually reference video games. And,
oh, okay. So not a person we're talking about.
And ratioed.
Ratioed?
Yeah. For Gen Alpha, what does ratioed mean?
This I don't know.
When a tweet gets more response than likes, usually suggesting it was unpopular. Yo, your ex tweet got ratioed. G-Y-A-T.
Glad we don't have to think about those things.
I like to call myself the Rizzler.
Yeah.
I want someone to remake the Joker, the song, into the Rizzler.
The Rizzler?
Yeah.
Gen Z, going up a generation, apparently, according to a survey from CNBC, don't want to engage in sports analysis with their colleagues.
What?
More than any other age group, the survey found them. 12%! 12%!
Oh, my God. Earth-shattering.
Of Gen Z wish they could ban the talk of sports at work.
Don't like the sports ball? I hate people who say that, by the way. Oh, big sports ball's going on, yeah, huh?
Exactly. Now, look.
You're not...
12%.
Why are we losing our mind over it?
Other generations, the national average is 9%.
Oh, good. So whoa, 3% more Gen Zers don't like sports in the workplace.
This is one of those articles that is just intentionally shitting on Gen Z for no particular reason.
They don't like sports. They just like to sit on their computer and be-be-de-be-de-be-de. Shut up.
This was higher than any other generation dissing sports at work. Gen X and millennials said the same about 8% to 10% of the time. Most of the other generations were more likely to say they wanted to ban talking about politics at work.
That I can get behind.
That I can get behind. 47% didn't want this conversation to come up at work, but Gen Z only said 41%.
Oh.
Baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials were much more wary of the topic, with 49 to 52% saying that they wanted politics banned.
Yes, I'm fine with that. And I get that not everyone watches sports. I'm a big sports guy. I get it. And it can be, if you don't watch, it can be boring, right? So yeah. I understand why, if you don't know about something, why you wouldn't want to talk about it.
Yes.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Don't make a big friggin' deal out of, 12% of Gen Z are shitting on our sports. It's like, come on.
Well, and it's always funny to me, too, when somebody begins a sports conversation, assuming you're caught up with them.
I've been guilty of that.
And when Chris Murphy used to work here, he was notorious for, because I lived in Detroit for, 6 years of my life growing up, and so he would just randomly come up to me and goes, man, your Red Wings really stunk up the place last night.
I don't live there.
I don't follow them. The Pistons, though. Did you see when the Pistons with the pass and the thing and the quarterback
and the bad boys and everything else?
It's like, you're assuming that I'm follow. I don't.
Yeah. That does kind of bug me, even as a sports guy, for when people just walk up and assume because you live in a certain area that they're going to, and the fact that they think it's a slam dunk, like in your face, like, yeah, so you're Packers. It's like, dude, I didn't watch the game. And then and they still try to make it a conversation. It's like, no, you move on. I've read the temperature of the room enough to know anymore that not everyone watches sports.
Yeah.
And
if
I bring it up and you get a blank stare, then I'm done with it. I don't need to continue to bore you with things.
Right. And there are some things where it's like, okay, I look at, oh, cool, the Cubs won, great. And then I move on with my day. I don't really think about it much more beyond that. And then people just get into these lengthy conversations with the stats and the pitch clock and the thing, and you go, it was a good game. I enjoyed the game. It was a good game.
Yeah, as the recording of this, the NFL draft was last night. 275,000 individuals stood in a park in Detroit just to see Roger Goodell walk out and read people's names.
Right.
Good freaking Christ.
Yeah.
Come on. I get football, but come on, folks.
Yeah, that
Yikes.
Is.
Yikes. That's
the people who were into that.
Yeah. But, the Bears had the first and ninth pick, and my wife, God bless her, she's like, the Bears. I'm like, yeah, but we don't know. And I stop myself. I'm like, she doesn't give a good damn if they trade down or what they – she doesn't know a Roma Dunze from a Malik Neighbors from a whatever. So I just was like, you know what? You don't need to know. It's just down in the background here on this other TV. Let's watch something else that you enjoy.
A 2021 survey said that only 23% of Gen Z called themselves passionate sports fans, compared with 42% of millennials, 33% of Gen X.
Okay.
I don't know what we do with this information.
Yeah. I, some people don't like sports. Deal with it. And some people go to it as a social event and deal with that as well. That's what I also hate, too, of you'll be in the bleachers or something. Or whenever I say, the only time I go to Wrigley, I'll go sit in the bleachers. And I get looked, well, then you're not a real fan. Like, what do you mean? Oh, the bleachers is just the world's biggest single bar. No one pays attention to the game and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? Maybe I like to have fun at the game, too.
I'm looking at the comments on this Newsweek article, too.
Just turn it off.
They're horrendous to work with, in my experience. They think they entered the workforce during a difficult time. Ha, 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 ha. Look at America's greatest generation and what they did. They built this country after coming home from fighting a war. Maybe Gen Zers can read about that on their phones.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
God almighty.
Phantom tax the hell out of that, Ohio.
Oh, Lord almighty.
That guy is not a Rizzler or a Sigma. Yikes.
Yeah, so that's what we do, I guess.
Yeah. So, just lighten up, Francis, I guess, is the theme of this particular episode of the Mike and Molson Too Good for Radio podcast. And also, if someone offers asks you to go to the upside down pineapple, it's just no. Even with the no matter how much Nugenics you take,
she will not like it.
Yeah, no, she won't.